Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God.
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, this is Pastor David, and with me I have...
Pastor Barry.
And this is Glorious Day. And guess what? Speaking of Glorious Day, we have some wonderful guests here in the studio with us. I'd like you, starting with Dario, to introduce yourself.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Name's Dario. Work for Sovereign Yacht Sales, and I am a faithful believer in our Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yo, what's going on? My name is J-Dub, and I am a pastor, Christian rapper, and the host of the J-Dub 561 show here on WCNO.
That's right. Which will air Saturday live at 1 p.m.
There you go.
How you doing? My name is Ethan. I'm a software salesman, but kind of just learning recently how to lead and be part of a house church.
Amen. And that's what we're here to talk about.
That's right.
Is the growing movement of the home church in a time when God is raising up the body of Christ all over the place. In America, certainly, and all over the world. And there's bricks and mortar churches. I mean, once you folks in there right now, we're not disparaging you.
Nope.
You have a job to do. You listen to the Lord and do it. But the home church has been around for a while. In fact, we're going to be talking about kind of when it got started in the first century tonight. But it is growing.
Yeah.
And everybody in this room is involved in a home church model. And that's where we're kind of start this next three series is... programs can be talking about what God is doing in the home church, what he's done, what's happening. So without any further ado, Dario, would you please read that scripture for us?
I'd be delighted to. Okay, so here we have Acts 2:46 and 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And that's a nice little sketch of the home church
right there
going on in the first century after Jesus ascended and the apostles and the disciples were out there preaching the gospel and bringing people to Christ. And they didn't have, they couldn't rent the local, you know, meeting room at the...
local temple?
At the temple, yeah. They
couldn't do that. No, they didn't have a moose lodge. No moose lodge they could use, no Shriners, not yet.
So let's just, you know, we talk about the model of home church and its viability, what's important about it. I'm just going to, you know, we're going to trust the Holy Spirit. We prayed earlier, God said he promised that he would send his Spirit to us. Mm. And so that we would share things that our listeners really could dig on. So I'm going to open up the floor here. Just let people talk. What about home church today?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I think, you know, the reason we have Dario here and we have Ethan here, you know, is because they're young adults.
Yeah.
So I would like to hear, you know, first from Dario, what's attractive to you as a millennial, as a young adult, about the house church model, you know, and you've been attending for a while now, and what have you been getting out of it, and why is it appealing?
Yeah, so to be honest, J-Dub, thank you. I actually got introduced to house church in 2017, 2018, when I first started becoming a new believer, and it was actually Tom, who I actually...
Shout out Tom Clark.
Yeah, Tom Clark.
Yes.
Thank God for Tom. He's on a mission. But seriously, and when I got introduced to house church, we did things a little bit different now. We actually went out into the harvest and started a door-to-door evangelizing. And the way he did it was really cool. He knocked around people's doors and opened the conversation of, how do you guys need any prayer? How can we be praying? Instead of sharing straight the gospel, it was, how can we be praying? And it caught people off guard because it wasn't an intrusive, intruding, hey, what are you doing here? Because most people nowadays, you show up on somebody's doorstep and it's like, what, you know? But anyways, and that led to his evangelizing, you know, witnessing tool, the three circles and all that. And I guess just to wrap up, to answer your question, stuff like that, I don't see in the normal church.
Yeah, and that's appealing to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, so when you spoke that way, it sounded to me we're saying is, well, we're just, it's like at a drag strip, right? You know, you don't have any curves at a drag strip, right? It's straight quarter mile, fast as you can go. And that's what it sounds like getting into a church. If you're really hungry to serve God and you got the Spirit of God moving in you, for many people, that's where God wants them to be, is in a place where they can get and get going without any hairpin curves to slow you down. Ethan, may I ask you? Now, tell us about your experience with home church. What's going on in your heart?
Yeah, so I guess when I was about 13 was when I was introduced to what home church was. And that was, I believe I actually met Tom Clark back then.
Wow. Oh, no way.
Maybe a little bit later.
oh, wow.
So yeah. There's that. But, you know, what I kind of see is, obviously, I grew up in the church. My parents grew up in Kentucky, went to a Baptist church, and I've grown up in that my whole entire life. But kind of later on throughout my life, I realized that there's kind of, you have those people that go on Sundays, and that's their Christian life. That's their walk. And so I realized, again, there's nothing wrong with a brick and mortar church or anything, but a lot of people go there just to get it done with. Realize that's not where I want to be. And so there, I think what I see and what I love about home church is there's an intentionality.
Yes.
When you go there, you're intentionally learning and yearning for something, and that's Christ. So
you get to go instead of have to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Barry over here, he's a little more ancient than you guys.
25? Times three, maybe. I don't
know. Okay. No, 28.
Okay, and
he's a little more wise than we are.
Yeah, right. He's venerable, right? More venerable. And I'm more ancienter than he is. But but now here's again, both Barry and I grew up in the bricks and mortar church environment and to what they used to call the model of Christendom, you know, in the old days. You know,
sure.
And where everybody went to church and all was, and hopefully most of them believed. But, you know, so you, sir, now you.
Yes, sir.
Sir, you, and we've been co-pastoring this home church for a few years now.
Oh, yeah. But prior to that, we co-pastored in a brick and mortar
church. We did. So what really excites you in your heart about the home church we're doing and the whole idea of home church?
I think what excites me first and foremost is the intimacy of it.
Yeah.
And not just for me, but for all the folks that come. And when you have a home church setting and someone is requesting prayer, you know what they need.
Yeah.
Because it's a close group. It's not a building full of 500 people where you don't even know their last name or in some cases their first name.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, in the early churches, they had to meet in homes because, Satan was persecuting and he was going to take care of business. And again, his plans were foiled because they had to go indoors in individual homes, and the church grew. In the case of David and I, the comments that we've gotten back from the folks that have transitioned from brick and mortar to an intimate home setting is, I like this because I'm learning more. I have more input.
Yep.
And you people know my heart.
Yeah, that's good.
That's awesome.
There's no strangers in the home church.
No, none at all.
They may be first-time comers, but that quickly changes.
Yeah.
And I also see people let their guard down more.
Yeah, man. That's good, yeah.
If someone's got something eating away at them and they're tearing up, David and I will stop right then and there and we'll anoint them and pray for them.
Yeah.
Whereas in a brick-and-mortar church, you might have a template you're working off of and you don't want to interrupt the flow of the service, so to speak. The flow of our service, the only flow we have is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't need anything else.
We don't. And we hope the Spirit's, of course, in other churches, too.
Yes,
and it is, for the most part. But so I want to ask now J-Dub, but also Ethan and Dario, Dario. I'm sorry. Dario.
It's like Mario, but with a D.
Our Mario, but with a D. Okay. All right. Now I'm even more confused. I got an old guy's brain. Dario. Okay. So because, we, again, you represent the millennial generation, I think, right, Ethan? No, you're 16, so you may. You look 16 anyway, but you're not, I know.
Yeah, 21.
21, okay. Yes.
Anybody
so,
under 40 looks 16.
Hey, though. Really? Believe me. And it's the fact the eyes get wrinkled, too, at my age. So, no, the point being that the great concern for Christian leaders today is your age group.
Mm-hmm.
Because the numbers show, the polls show that it's incredibly few people in your generation are even interested in God, much less going to a church. So, and I would love, and because you're involved in the home church, and I think the venue of the home church is it has many appeals, but one of them is to you guys, mm-hmm. your age group, the men and women that fall in that generation. But would you address that to me? Would you either confirm or deny?
Like a deposition.
I know. Yes, it does.
I mean, yeah, what I see is that in this generation that I'm a part of and me and Dario are a part of, it's people are looking for something that's personal, they want to be connected.
Amen.
And you can see people reaching out for anything. They want to be part of a group.
Yeah.
They want to say that their identity is in something.
Mm-hmm.
And so for our generation, I think home church is going to be so crucial to get those people who are just searching for that. I think that's what they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we have to offer. Praise God.
Amen. So. Absolutely, and that's the thing, and you touched on a point, so I'm going to throw this question out. You can answer it too, Barry, if you want. It's not age-specific, and especially J-Dub, because as a pastor, and because my heart as a Christian, whether I'm ordained or not, doesn't matter, as a Christian, my heart is for the lost.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's true for all of you here. And because of that, when we think of the work of the church led by the Spirit, and we're thinking especially now first century, because the apostles, the disciples, those that followed Jesus, and those that came to Christ after the day of Pentecost and in the years that followed, even the decades, they were able to receive the Lord, to come into a community that was discipling and encouraging.
Yeah,
right.
And what do disciples do is they learn and they also train. They learn and teach at the same time. So putting that into the context, when you think of the home church you're a part of, what does that do for active ministry? That's what I want to hear about.
Well,
ministry.
I mean, just in what you said in and of itself, mm-hmm. the fact that people come in and they're getting trained up, they're getting, you know, almost catered to. It's intimate, it's personal. I mean, these things, this is what you get when you start a career, a job. You get on-the-job training. You usually get a mentor to walk with you, to show you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's one of the crucial things that is missing, vital from the church, is mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you raise your hand, you get saved, go volunteer.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm not disrespecting the church.
Right.
I have a lot of love. You know, the church has fed into me, has blessed me, has given me so much, and I'm thankful for them. But look, we're in a season of revival and change, and I feel like it's almost like the 70s when the young people in the 70s said, we're done with the system. And I believe that's the season that we're in right now. Yeah. And saying we gotta do better, and I'm not saying that the brick and mortar has to be torn down, but something's got to change. And the intimate, the one-on-one training, the really saying, hey, you know, Dario, I'm gonna walk side by side with you, and you know, Ethan, I'm gonna walk side by side with you, and modeling that kind of relationship, that mentorship, to say this is more important than your career and your job.
Right.
You need training. And if you want to be trained, I'm going to train you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's the cool thing. And Ethan, you had a word. You look like you had something to say. I'm sorry.
I think maybe Dario.
I actually wanted to share something too.
Yeah.
something that I personally, going to house church that I enjoyed was Tom and both J-Dub both laid out this is how you actually do a church service, and they did like, you know, a few points. They said they made a point that communion was done often. To a normal church goer, even me, you know, who's been going to church, you know, the past few years, a lot of what they talked about was like a, it was almost like a shock, like, oh, like this is
culture shock.
This is church, you know what I mean? And yeah. And to a lot of Americanized Christians, that the Sunday service for an hour is, that's what it is. And I feel like there's a more in-depth experience that you get at house church for sure.
Amen.
In-depth and personal.
Yeah, in-depth yes. and personal. Yeah. And there's no shunning or shaming that because I didn't know something or I wasn't as well versed as the next person. It was more of like a, hey, like, yeah, you don't know this? Yeah, no, this is what it is. And it's like an encouraging but pushing kind of a long thing, which is really cool.
Absolutely. It gives you a chance to step out in ministry right away.
Yes. Yeah.
And again, we have to, I feel in my heart, we have to keep saying we're not disparaging the home church, the bricks and mortar church.
Amen.
And some of the procedures and policies they have are really helpful.
Amen.
You know, I think the question that has to be asked, and I'm only throwing this out, I'm not going to name anybody because you're listening. If you're in a bricks and mortar church, you need to answer this question, is what are we doing that is taking the gospel out in the streets beyond the church today?
Yeah.
Right now, what are we doing to change lives, to let the Spirit lead us outside of this building we worship in, and we thank God we have it because when it rains, we don't get wet, you know, and all of that stuff. That's important. But what's the fruit of the ministry?
And let me throw this out, Dave, you know, to ask the question, what are we doing to get the gospel out, to spread the gospel? I think it goes back, you got to ask the first question before that is your church, and any church can do this, but here's a question, is your church making disciples?
Yeah.
Are they making disciples who make disciples?
Yeah.
Any church can do that, but are they? That's the big question, and I think that will answer your question, because when you make a disciple who knows how to make a disciple, they're going out into the streets and they're evangelizing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sounds like the Apostle Paul to me.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not reinventing the wheel. You've gone right back to the very beginning.
Yeah. Amen.
And all you guys are doing is exactly what they did 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Before there was something called church, before we had our religion name. Yeah. You know, we weren't called Christians yet, right?
Not but yet.
They were simply
yeah.
following what the apostles were taught by Christ to do.
Amen.
And, you know, you just said something that touched my heart. There are people out there that feel that they were called to preach the gospel. There's preachers, pastors, and ministers. And they're different. And they're different. But what they have in common is a responsibility.
Amen.
You know, we all got saved. And then what?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm glad everybody here is saved.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah, come on. Yes,
and then what?
And then what?
Because I don't know about you, but when I stand before Christ, I'd like to...
Come on.
I want to be the spoiled son that he says, look over there, and there's all the people that I took the initiative and the time to introduce them to Christ. Mm. On the other hand, there could be another line of people in the great white throne judgment that maybe I was a little busy that day. Maybe I didn't take the time. Maybe I dropped the ball that day. And when you read that in the book of Revelation... oh, that's just the great white throne judgment. You know, I don't know them. Could be the lady in Publix that you've been seeing for the last 10
that's
years.
Good. Yeah.
The young guy down the street, you thought
on,
was
Brent.
A wild child.
Preach it.
Oh, I'll never be able to change him. You
know, preach it.
Well, we don't change anybody.
Come
Christ
on.
Does.
Amen.
But, you know, I love what you said, because disciples make disciples make disciples. And that's how this continues on, because David and I are a little bit older than you guys, or a lot bit old. But there's going to come a time when you guys have a little white hair, gray hair, and we need to keep each generation ready.
Amen.
And fresh.
Amen.
Yes. And appointed and anointed.
Wow. Yeah.
That's right.
And I think that's what house church is doing. It's getting the next generation a fresh look at Christianity, at church, at living together and doing life together. I'm telling you, it's revitalizing, I believe, Christianity. And I mean, because these guys here can tell you, I talk with them on a weekly basis, and I was just talking with Ethan. I mean, there's a buzz in the young adult community about the concept of house church. Is there not, Ethan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
And we're kind of at a point in time now that in the history of humanity, if you will, and in these days, which Barry and I often mention in our radio program, that, you know, Jesus is coming soon. We don't, he hasn't given us a date for the day timer, but it's coming.
Yeah,
and we're all needing to prep because, you know, he asked the question, will the Son of Man, when he comes, find faith on the earth? And I want to say yes, because of what God is doing now, the Holy Spirit is doing in his church today.
Amen.
You know, it's a time. I'm going to tell you a little story, real quick story. I got some folks really upset with me back in 1997. And that was a year probably before you were born, Ethan, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Born in 93.
Hey, all right. So you're
Where's my cane?
I just love it. You guys are here. Honestly, praise God. You're such a blessing to us.
Glad to be here.
But I was in a bricks and mortar church, and they're very root bound in tradition. Again, some of those are okay, but they had become so encrusted with the kind of traditions that you don't get anywhere. You do Christianity by virtue of duty. You know, you believe your salvation, God's racking up points, right? I came to church today, that's 20 points, you know?
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Didn't beat anybody up, that's another 20. Okay. And God sent me to that church. Well, I went to that church. Maybe he didn't send me, but anyway, he showed me. Because let's face it, I've sent myself some places and gotten in all kinds of trouble.
Amen.
But after being there for about a year and a half, I noticed, you know, this is a religious country club. It's not a church.
Come on, preach.
And so everybody there, local professionals, had, you know, people that were in charge of the community, so they ran the church. They weren't interested in what God wanted, you know. So I had a sermon. God had me preach. Oh, man, my wife asked me the morning before, or the morning of that first sermon. We had three services, and this was a 7:30 service, and I was going to be preaching. He said, how's your sermon coming? And I started to cry. Literally, man, I just wept because I knew what God wanted me to say. And basically, he wanted me to say, look, God sent me here to build the church, not a religious country club. This is where you are. This is where you need to be. And if that's, you
know. And did you have your resignation letter signed at the time?
Well, I'd like to say that the moving truck with the engine running was in the parking lot. I mean, God redeemed all that. He got it going, you know, but we did end up having to leave. They weren't interested in being the church God wanted them to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
But because the reason is so much the debris that had collected in front of the pathway to discipleship, because of not just the traditions they had were like, well, we're in charge. You know, and we run the show, and we're not that interested in what God wants, because we want, you know what I'm saying? So, and there's some churches like that. That's not a caricature of bricks and mortar churches in general, but it was my experience there.
Yeah.
So anyway, and that's when I think in my heart, after that experience, when I read the book, and I'm going to give a shout out to Neil Cole, who wrote a book called The Organic Church. And this is way back. It's back in the turn of the century. Super book. I gave you a copy.
Yes, you did.
And it got me so excited. And but then I was still in a bricks and mortar church even at that point. But now I see that this is the wave. It's not the wave of the future. It's the wave of today.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Dario, before you depart, and by the way, happy birthday. We're going to say it.
Happy birthday.
We have potential listening audience of 7.5 million people in our coverage area, and I want them all, when they hear this, to wish Dario a very happy birthday.
Imagine that, Dario. They're driving down the road singing happy birthday to you, right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, that'll be the best birthday ever then.
Yeah. Any last words from anybody?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I just wanted to thank you guys, and thank you, J-Dub, for inviting me here. It's a blessing. I'll say this, with my journey with God, I have no idea what the future holds. But I do know how he has blessed me in the past. I know the future's bright. I know things are going to change in the future. As J-Dub started mentioning, you know, there is a slow churning, a slowly creeping revival that is going mm-hmm. to, you know what I mean? Yep. And little, you know, it's taking some time. And I think that what J-Dub is helping to implement, not only to people his age, but people to our age, me and Ethan's age, we can also help, you know, spread that as well. So
for the record, I am their age, by the way.
Yeah.
if you see J-Dub in person, you would think that we're all related.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It looks like bring your children to work day here, right, David?
Exactly. I'll take it.
Yeah. And we're going to, again, the next two programs are going to be involved with Home Church. We're going the mm-hmm. Spirit's going to lead us. We're going to be signing off in a minute or two, but I just want to invite our listeners to pick up J-Dub 561 show on Saturdays here at WCNO 89.9 at 1 p.m. And for an hour. And I'll tell you what, this, you know, I admit I'm an old guy, but I have gotten really excited about Christian hip-hop, pop, and rock.
There you go.
And I want you folks to listen. You know, some people say, well, I don't like that. Well, have you listened to it?
Yeah.
Have you listened to the words?
Yeah.
There's gospel in those words, and I'm really converted, man. I just want...
That's nice.
Why don't you listen in, 89.9 at 1 p.m. on Saturday for J-Dub 561 show.
Let's go.
Let's go, yes.
I love it.
All right, Barry, any last words?
Well, now that you're a hip-hop dude... you become a cool older dude.
Yeah.
I just got to say that I'm very impressed because, you know, we pray and pray and pray that demographically that this generation in this room right now would find their way to the cross.
Amen.
And realize that they have everything to gain and nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Except heartache in their life, bad decisions, regrets, and all the other stuff that goes
Amen.
With
Amen.
It. You know, the evil one roars like a hungry lion. He's always looking for someone to devour. Mm. And I have young grandsons too, you know, young men. And it's something that we think about, our generation thinks about all the time. We are praying for your generation.
Yeah.
There's going to come a time when David and I move on. And in fact, I've already requested that when we get to heaven, we're going to work in the bakery together and not worry about calories or
desserts,
carbs or
man, yeah. desserts.
So when you guys get there, we're in the bakery if you want to stop by and say
right.
hi.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right, we'll do
but I just want to say thank you for giving us a boost in hope for your generation.
Amen.
Thank you for everything you do.
Come on.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Oh, man. It. Time to say goodnight, everybody. Goodnight.
Goodnight, everybody.
God bless.
Peace.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.